X gon' give it to you. Wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real. With the non-stop pop out from stainless steel.
Welcome back, everybody, to the MLL Inside the Cross podcast. It's week 15. It's the last week of the regular season. My name is Kyle Devitt. I'm the Gear and Lifestyle Editor for Inside the Cross. And I'm joined for this very momentous pod by
Chris Rosenthal, Inside the Cross freelance contributor and MLL analyst.
We're back to our regular format. We have a awesome show for you guys. We got Ryan Brown coming up as our interview. But first, as we do most weeks, not last week, because we did a special roundtable pod, got to thank everybody that came out for that. Phil Shore, Ryan Conwell, Connor Wilson, big ups. Once you're on the pod, you're a friend of the pod. So those guys are all now friends of the pod. Congratulations. We're going to go into our weekend update. We had a lot of games, and a lot of these games did decide playoff position. We'll get to that after the recap. First game, Denver 12. Chesapeake 11 in OT. I can't help but feel this game was everything that went wrong with Chesapeake all season. No line of consistency, inconsistent performances from everyone on the field, and just a feeling of unease with what everyone was doing on the field. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely agree. The situation I think Chesapeake found themselves in is, you know, just like every team, you just have to collect your wins throughout the season. You know what I mean? Like, it's a GM's league. That's what I always say. And they have to configure their teams in optimal ways to kind of navigate through all the obstacles that are getting thrown at them. And, like, I think this Bayhawks team, as is now, could be really good next year. But as far as right now, you know, some of the guys who did show up, like, say, Nick Aponte, or, you know, Jake Ficarro, you know, the guys with, you know, limited seasons because of obviously college obligations, I think you can kind of build on them if they get a full season next year. But you'll still find similar situations for, you know, Josh Byrne and Lyle Thompson that, you know, they're just not going to be there all the time. And, you know, for example, Lyle Thompson was out this past weekend. And you have to wonder, you know, in an overtime game like this, would he have made the difference if he was there?
Yeah, I think Chesapeake got bit by the disease that most MLL teams fell privy to, which is let's rent some Canadians while we wait for our college guys to get here. And it did not pay off for them. And I would like to say I told you so to all of the teams that happened to. Chesapeake's just one of them. It happened to several other teams who went out and rented some Canadian stars who never came back. And we all knew they were never going to come back, except for the people that rented them, apparently. On the other side of the ball, another low score from Denver in this one, even though they got the victory. Does it matter? Does that matter going into the playoffs for Denver?
I think it does. I think it's, I mean, it has to be concerning. Even if you're winning, even if you're on top of the league, it's got to be concerning that they just keep putting up these 12-goal performances. You know, like this week they won 12-11. Last week they lost 13-12, you know, to a team that they might face either, you know, they're going to face Ohio potentially, you know, in the championships if they're 1-2 seeds. And, you know, they lost to Rochester the week before that, 18-12. It's not going to be these defensive performances constantly keeping down high scoring offenses all the time. They're going to have to find some other way to produce.
Yeah, and they're leaning really hard on Jack Kelly, 24 saves in this game. Do you know which game the midfield kind of switched where Snyder and Sievert basically have given way to Currier and Romar? Like, what game did that kind of happen? Was that the Romar two-pointer? Was, like, that the turning point? Or, in your estimation, how did that go down?
I feel like the Romar influence has definitely stepped up each game. And, you know, you kind of look down during, I guess, 2 weeks ago, and he's kind of running more consistently. You know, I think when he started, they just kind of wanted to see how they could work with him. And then, you know, he started doing, you know, some ridiculous things, but they're still ridiculous sporadically. It's not like, you know, he was putting up, you know, 14 points or something. He would just do one thing that everybody, you know, lost their minds about. But I think Denver has kind of figured out, okay, at the very least, this is a guy who's going to draw a double. So let's get him out there. And it's the same sort of thing with Courier. You know, he's going to keep drawing short stick coverage, and he's going to keep embarrassing the short stick coverage. That's just what Zach Courier's doing this year.
We're going to move on. Pair of Boston games. The first one, Charlotte 16, Boston 12. In addition to the loss of Fleury, which we'll get to next, I got to ask this question, even though I feel like it's been asked so many times now. Is Boston ever going to recover from this botched trade? Because it's definitely not happening this season. They're going to finish last no matter what happens this weekend. What are your thoughts on the Canons franchise moving forward?
Well, like, it is very – this is kind of league where it is possible to go from, say, you know, worst to first, or, you know, something like that. You know, we're seeing it with the Florida launch right now. But that being said, doesn't this feel like one of those situations where, like, 30 years from now, they're going to say, oh, it was never the same after that Manny trade? You know, it feels like a historic sort of botch that just kind of kicks everything off the rails for a very long time.
Are you calling this, like, the Babe Ruth trade of the can of MLO history right now? Are you calling your shot like that?
Here's what I'm going to say. If it happened, would you be surprised by that?
Hell no.
Right. That's what I could definitely say. If, you know, if we look up, you know, 5 years from now and the Canons haven't sniffed the playoffs, you know, I mean, whether or not it had anything to do with this trade, you can still just kind of point to it and say, uh-huh, you see that? Everything got screwy.
Back in my day. All right. So on the other side of that coin, though, how good are the alternate universe Bostons? If guys didn't retire, the trade doesn't happen, maybe they pick someone other than Perkovic in the draft that can play right away. Are they in the mix right now in this playoff hunt, maybe?
See, yeah, like, I think that's the most interesting thing about the Canons right now. I think, like I was just kind of saying about, you know, this one thing kind of throwing everything out of whack. What if it really did throw this whole thing out of whack and say alternate universe Boston where Lawson and LaPierre show up? Is that a playoff team now? I mean, I still don't think they're going to the postseason this year. I think if they don't make the trade at all, they're probably still not going postseason.
They might not
so
be last,
So does it make
though.
A difference? What's that?
They might not be last, though.
Right, yeah. I think things would go a little better for them from like a PR standpoint or a hang-your-hat-on kind of standpoint, but I still don't think they're going top four.
All right, we're going to move on to our next game, Florida 18, Boston 17. This is Boston's darkest timeline, but this result was worth noting because it clinched Florida's first playoff spot in franchise history if you just count them as the launch. Thoughts on this accomplishment for a team that, you know, has been a dumpster fire the last couple of years?
Well, I definitely do just count them as the launch, and that's how I am with all sports. I'm not one of those you know, like Oklahoma City Thunder is the Oklahoma City Thunder to me. They're not the Sonics and the Thunder. You know, Washington Nationals aren't the Expos and the Nationals. So that being said, I just say they are the launch and that's that. And I think it's a huge deal because the way they're getting it done is not necessarily how you would think. You know, it's not, okay, we'll give it to Dylan Malloy and everybody get out of his way. You know, it's not sort of leaning on your first draft pick sort of thing. This is a group effort from a lot of people. Like the game we were just watching this past weekend, you know, you get 4 points from Stephen Brooks. You can have a big game from Kieran McArdle, but other people are contributing consistently. And, I mean, that's what they needed to do to get where they are.
Yeah, big shout out to Dylan Malloy, who actually signed with one of our sponsors, Epic Lacrosse, this week. Talking about Florida, they still gave up 10 goals in the middle of the game to Boston. They let Boston kind of sneak in the back door until Florida, you know, punched him in the face and pushed him out of the bar. I still feel, even with that collapse, that Florida is the team I least want to see in the playoffs from Ohio and Denver. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Florida is scary, and you don't really know what you're going to get from them. You know what I mean? Like, in this particular game, it was Karen McArdle going off. But, you know, are you going to devote your attention to him and not worry about the midfield? You know, I mean, I hadn't even mentioned Connor Bucic yet. You know what I mean? And he's deadly. And, you know, I just totally left him out of the conversation beforehand. There's so many different people who can kind of give you nightmares if you focus too much on someone else. And, you know, they're kind of at a point right now where they're scoring these 18-goal, 17-goal games. You know, I think the three of their past four, they've had like 17 or 18 goals. So you don't really want to get in the way of a train that's going that fast.
Moving on to our next game, Rochester 11, Atlanta 7. Down goes Atlanta. They're not eligible for the playoffs. Have they underachieved this year, or are they yet another team that's the victim of roster availability, selection, and schedule?
I think I kind of lean more towards the latter. And I mean, that's just – I mean, it's the risk they take when they put together the team. You know, it didn't catch anybody off guard or anything like that. But they were 1-3, like, when you got through April. So, you know, if you're that far behind, you know, I mean, you're going to have to go like 7-3 the rest of the way. And, you know, in a league like this, like, how many teams are really, you know, win 7 of 10 games, like, dominant, hanging that far higher over everybody else? You know, so if you stumble, you know, stumble out the gate in this case, if you can't just dominate the rest of the lineups going forward, you're just really, really, really in trouble. And I think that's what happened with Atlanta. You know, I mean, I really like their attack. If, you know, they're all there, you know, Matthews, Stotts, and Rice, that is a very dangerous attack lineup. I think they got a lot of productivity out of their midfield that I wasn't necessarily expecting. You know, like, James Pinnell had a great year. But I think there's still, you know, some avenues they need to improve on, you know, maybe get some more midfield scoring. You know, giving up 11 goals is good, but, you know, scoring 7 is very bad. There you go. What do you think of that take?
Hashtag analysis. No Jordan Wolf in this game for Rochester again. Are we concerned that he'll miss the playoffs? And bonus question, what's your guess for the last time the MLO updated their transactions?
Are we concerned that he'll miss the playoffs? I think, you know, it's really weird with him because, like, they're saying he has a rib injury. And I've never had a significant rib injury. Like, I've never broken a rib or anything, but it sounds awful. Like anything in the breathing neighborhood sounds really problematic. And somebody like Jordan Wolf, who, you know, just plays with no regard for his personal safety, I think that's a double problematic situation. But that being said, you know, if he misses a month, maybe they could get him back for the first round or something like that. You know, take another week off and then come back after that, or else give it a go. As far as updating the transactions, which would, you know, certainly help me knowing if he is coming back or not, I'm going to guess they haven't updated it in a couple weeks. July the 10th.
Very close. July 17th is the last official update.
Nice.
So you were close. I have had cracked ribs. I have played with cracked ribs. It's okay. Like breathing fire, sort of, but like not in the cool way or in the way right. That like Snapchat filters make you breathe fire. It's awful.
Not like your mixtape.
Yeah, no, it's not great. I think that they kind of need him because if Rochester doesn't win, they're out. But we will get to that eventually right before we get to our last game. Ohio 21, New York 14. Ohio's biggest statement game of the year. What say you, Chris Rosenthal, on the Sheens?
Whew. I think Ohio, I mean, kind of just beat the brakes off them. That seems like an accurate description of it. They just, like, all avenues of the game. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't just kind of like, okay, Ohio's transition is going to be very strong. And that did happen. And they burned them on a lot of fast breaks. But Ohio's settle offense was also stronger. And Ohio's, you know, two-man game was better than New York's two-man defense. And Ohio's two-man defense was better than New York's two-man game. Like, everything, every sort of box was checked in Ohio's favor. And I mean, 21-14 is the result. It was never really close. That was the crazy thing. I mean, they just stomped them.
Yeah, they just kept it up. I have written down here, declawed, crack-fanged, just like a beaten-down saber-toothed tiger looking around for answers on the field and just getting run over. That being said, do you think we're going to see this major kind of kingmaker franchise that is New York blown up in the offseason if they don't make the playoffs? Do you see that happening?
I don't. I think they're going – if they don't make the playoffs, I think their number one priority is chipping a couple edges off of, like, their statue or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't think we're going to see a total overhaul where they're like, you know, all right, you know, who wants Rabel? Who wants, you know, like, just everybody. I don't think everybody's getting shipped. But I think there are a lot of people who are contributing to the offense that they might try to ship out for, you know, say, like some more defenders. You know what I mean? Like, I could see trying to work out a trade where, say, some attackmen who are kind of getting bumped out of position or something like that, or going to get bundled up with maybe a draft pick, and you try to ship them out for somebody like say a Tucker Durkin or somebody, like, just a name off the top of my head, like a big number one defender who's going to maybe kind of hold down the defensive responsibilities and be kind of vicious if need be. I think that's what they're going to focus on more than really, really, really shaking things up. What do you think? I mean, it's definitely out in the open.
I think that during the trade deadline, they tried to move guys like Palasek and Gibson for pieces like you're talking about, for defensive guys and impact guys. I think they're going to have to part with at least those two and maybe some other players to try and shore up their defensive back line. And, you know, Beast is retiring. They're going to make a move to try and get Baptiste. That's going to happen. They're going to make a move for that. And I think that the way they're going to do that is with a lot of these players that they have log jammed at attack and midfield even. So I would not be surprised if they did a mini blow up, like maybe like blew off an arm and tried to regrow it or get a cybernetic one, because they really need to like relook at the entire franchise and how much, to be real, I've been very critical of them all season. They have criminally underachieved with that roster. It's borderline inexcusable. And I think that a lot of people think that. I don't think that's a, you know, wild, you know, Kyle's a crazy person take. I think that's actually the majority of people probably think that, including the players probably. So I think we're going to see some movement, but I don't, like you said, I don't think we're going to see guys like Rabel or Walters or even newly acquired Manny move anytime soon in the offseason. But everyone else, fair game, man. Fair game. We have to thank our first sponsor of the podcast, ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Are you the MLL looking for a new commissioner? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you, it finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just under 24 hours. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. At Inside the Cross, we're looking for a new events manager. I think we should use ZipRecruiter. And here's what we're going to do. Right now, our listeners, Chris, you, the listeners to this podcast, can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/lacrosse. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lacrosse. One more time, try it for free. Find me a new best friend at Inside the Cross. ZipRecruiter.com/lacrosse. We got to get into these, maybe even more important than last week's games, this wild playoff picture that we're staring at that actually is a little more simple than I think has been made out, but it's still a little complicated. So we're going to kind of break it down to the lowest level for you guys. Basically, it comes down to Denver and Ohio have clinched home playoff games. Florida has clinched the third spot. The fourth spot in the MLL playoffs is up for grabs between Rochester, Charlotte, and New York. Rochester plays Ohio this weekend. If they beat Ohio, they get into the playoffs, no question asked. First point of topic here, can they do that, Chris Rosenthal?
Yes, Rochester can do it because I think their settled defense has been very strong, and I think they will have a definite face-off advantage that, if they can capitalize on, would definitely help them out. It doesn't necessarily mean that they do capitalize on it, because like we saw with Ohio and Denver, Ohio got blown out face-off-wise, but they still won the game. So, you know, you got to make the possessions count. But I think Rochester does definitely have the advantage there. And I really like Rochester's defense. Very solid. John Galloway, of course, steady as usual. Will they do it? The thing is, okay, so they have done it once this season. But in that game, Jordan Wolfe had 5 goals and 2 assists. If you don't have Jordan Wolfe putting up those 7 points, it's going to be a little trickier to beat Ohio. And I think that Ohio's offense might be a little bit too strong right now, even though I just finished picking up Rochester's defense. So can they do it? Absolutely. But it will be super tough to do so.
I think the thing for me is I'm worried about Rochester's D-mids and how they match up with Ohio's O-mids, because they don't. They do not match up. It is not a good matchup for them. The Rochester D-mids are not, how do I say this, fleet of foot is not how I would describe them. They're very tough. They're very great on ball. They're good in one-on-one situations where they have help and where they can be help to someone else. But in terms of catching transition, I think Rochester's D-mids are, that's going to be problematic. Like, Rochester's going to have to run a clean box. And as we've seen all season, Rochester has run a dirty, filthy, like, tent city substitution box all season. And that has cost them games, and I think it might cost them this game, especially if Wolf doesn't play. Let's talk about kind of the scenarios if Rochester loses. They're a little complicated, but essentially not really, because we're not trying to figure out seeds right now. Certain results will get you certain things. If teams win by certain goal, you know, totals, they'll, like, guys will move. Rochester could, if they're out, Ohio and Denver could go, you know, up or down to 1 or 2, but it's really not going to affect anything except the final matchups. So basically, if Rochester loses, there's another playoff game going on at the same time as Rochester, Ohio, and that's New York and Charlotte. And essentially, if Rochester loses, the winner of New York and Charlotte will get that fourth spot. What I want to ask you is, if you have to choose between those two teams, New York and Charlotte, which one would you, one, like to see, and two, which one do you think is the most deserving? And those can definitely be different answers.
And so you're saying, which one would I like to see? This is me just as like a lacrosse watcher, not like an opponent?
Correct.
lacrosse watcher, I would like to see New York, with all due respect and admiration for Charlotte, which is a delightful city with great barbecue. I would want to see New York because, I mean, you know, if you're a sucker for storylines, I think you just kind of have to go with Lizards. You know, Gremlin's last ride. I mean, can they piece this sort of situation together? You know, they have all these stars, but they've been up and down. Can they kind of come together at the right time? You know, like basically every sports movie. I mean, that's just the kind of thing you want to see.
That's a great pitch. Great sports movie pitch. Let's write that. Can we write that?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm gonna put it in the rundown. Continue.
Sure. I think the way the Lizards go, I think people generally either want to see them super successful or they want to see them get the crap kicked out of themselves, you know? Like, people would either say, wow, look at this awesome lineup, you know, I wanna watch them light the score up, or, you know, I really hope these people fail. It's just kind of what kind of person you think you are. Like, are you a giant hater and you want to see, you know, the superstar team go down? That's fine. Own that. If you're cheering for them and you want to see them thrive because, you know, you've got your favorite players on the team all working together, then, you know, own that too. But you definitely get more of either of those reactions if the Lizards make the postseason.
Yeah, I think the Lizards, despite all the star power they have, are easily the most hated team in the MLL by neutral fans.
Do you think that is it just like a resentment thing because it looks like, oh, these guys are trying to buy a title?
I think it's more like people hate. So I'm from an area where people hate right now. It's cool to hate New England. I get that. It's probably – I don't think it's cool to hate the Canons right now. It's a little too much hate. But I think for a long time and for most people, it's also cool to hate New York teams. Even if you're not from New England or Philly or any other, you know, place where you traditionally have a rival in New York for another sport. But this team is so New York. And not just from the players that, like, are on it, but the attitude it has, and there's a certain person that will always be put off by that attitude, and there's a certain person that will always be drawn to it. And I think they're very opposite kinds of people. I mean, I got to agree with you, though. I really do want to see the Lizards there. I want to see them battle. You know, I want to see if these guys can pull it out. I mean, it clearly means a lot to them, even if they have vastly underachieved this season. This is a team that I think probably people penciled in for 10 wins, 9 wins maybe. And now they're struggling to get that 4 spot and have to rely on another New York team, ironically enough, to lose so they can get a spot. All that being said, I still want to see it. I still want to see, you know, Greg Gerenlian get to another MLL final. I just do. I even want to see Joe Walt get to another final. Whatever happens there, happens there. But I think it would be cool to see it. And I definitely want to see them have the opportunity to get that. The other part of the question, who do you think is the most deserving out of New York and Charlotte? Or, actually, caveat to this, do you think another team is more deserving of this spot in, like, a parallel universe?
I'm really glad you added that last part. I was actually going to answer with the third team anyway. I think Rochester is the most deserving of all of the remaining teams. So if they could, like, you know, win immunity or, you know, like Money in the Bank or something like that to get them the spot, I would definitely award it to the Rattlers. I mean, because they're doing everything they're doing right now, like we've discussed it a couple times already, without their leading scorer. And, like, this past weekend, they didn't have Wolf, Crotty, or Bolt, like their top three scorers, none of them were there. They're stringing this together with guys who, you know, who, like, a lot of people probably hadn't even heard of. You know, like, if you have a guy, you know, like from Marquette who's running your offense now, you know, like, these are situations that, and also they weren't planning for this necessarily, you know? they're just making it work. So as opposed to the other teams, you know, Charlotte's kind of had this dive that they, you know, they won this past weekend against Boston, but, you know, they've been kind of bad, and New York had a couple wins, but now they're back down. And, you know, like, I would just give it to the plucky Rochester Rattlers, who, I mean, also lost in the championship to those Lizards. So if they get a chance to kind of get in there, and plus, are they going to be there next year? I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be nice for Rochester.
100%. It's like Rochester's last stand, man. I think we're talking about storylines. That's the only other one that matters to me as well. You know, those are the two storylines competing in my head. And, you know, the way things have been going this season, Charlotte's definitely going to win. And it's not going to matter. Yeah. What we think is not going to matter, because that's just the up and down nature of this league in general, and especially in, you know, 2016 and 2017. It's been even more unpredictable than usual. To be fair, Rochester plans nothing. They plan nothing, but in pseudo we trust. You know, so you're talking about Ryan McNamara running that offense. He's running that offense because Tim Sudan trusts him to run that offense. And Tim Sudan is maybe one of the only coaches besides like Mariano to trust a rookie to run an offense. And with good reason. McNamara's doing an amazing job. I remember seeing him play in the Big East semifinal this past season. I covered that whole tournament, and he's impressive. And he's got a good IQ for the game. And that's I think that's the key there, because Rochester doesn't – they're not statistical. They're not strategic. They're the most roll-the-ball-out-and-play team there is left in the MLL. But the way they do it and the way they have success – is trust in each other, and all that other stuff being said, they have the most team-like approach to everything. Like, if you play for Rochester, you always, even though it's, listen, it's Rochester, but you're playing for Tim Sudan, and you're playing for people that are going to be your friends. Do you think if someone gets drafted by the New York Lizards, they think that? No. Kids coming out of college should know. If Rochester drafts you, you're going to get a fair shake. And if you play well, you're going to play in the games. I don't think that's true for every team in the MLL, but I know it's true for the Rochester Rattlers. So if we're talking about teams that I think are most deserving, again, I got to go with you on Rochester. And mostly because Charlotte has faltered down the stretch. If Charlotte won a couple more games, aside from beating up on Boston, I would go with them here. But given the storylines at stake, given the impact of the game, or even the last chance saloon probability of the game for the Rattlers, I got to go with them. I got to go with them. I know people are probably getting at us because like we agree on a lot of stuff, but that's just how it goes sometimes. One last question before we move on. Do you care how the rest of the teams finish out? Why or why not? The ones that don't make the playoffs, do you care?
Personally, I do not care at all. I just hope they all play exciting games, because, I mean, I like watching the games and stuff, and I hope everybody stays healthy. But no, I could not possibly care less if you're going to finish, you know, sixth or seventh. Couldn't care less.
Yeah, I mean, it only matters for the draft, and a lot of these teams have lost their picks anyway. So, or traded them away, or are sitting on two from someone else. You know, it's not as cut and dry, I think, as a lot of people might make it out to be. We got to go thank our second sponsor, Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And as a result, beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. And really, cooking together for families builds strong bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often than other families surveyed. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or at high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. Some of the most recent meals include basil pesto chicken with summer vegetable panzanella. I probably said that wrong. Sauteed shrimp and green beans with globe tomatoes. They must be shaped like globes. Spinach and orzo pasta. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/lacrosse. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/lacrosse. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Speaking of cooking, our next guest knows a little bit about searing some corners. Charlotte Hounds attackman, Ryan Brown, coming in hot. We welcome into the podcast Charlotte Hounds attackman, Ryan Brown. Ryan, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
We wanted to bring you on. We haven't not had a hound on yet. So we needed to have you in here to represent Charlotte. And I'm just going to kick it off. Who did you model your game after, and especially your shot as you were kind of developing as a player?
So that's a good question. My shot, I don't know if I've actually modeled it off of someone. I feel like I kind of have a unique shot. I worked with this guy growing up who was one of my coaches at Calvin Hall, Torrey Casemeyer, and he was kind of the one that showed me how to shoot the way I do. But as far as like modeling my game after, people who I think I would like to play like is a guy like kind of like Marcus Holman, who you know, he can do a lot of different things. He's good with the ball, he's good without it, he's good inside. You can shoot from distance on the run. So growing up, you know, he was 4 years ahead of me, so I was able to watch him while I was in high school, him in college, and he had a very successful career in college. So I kind of just try to take bits and pieces of things that made him successful and see if I could add them to my game.
Now, off the top of your head, who do you think is the greatest Johns Hopkins Blue Jay of all time, and who is the greatest Maryland Terrapin?
The greatest Terp is my boy Rambo. The greatest Blue Jay. It's a good question. Let me think. Well, I don't know. I mean, Coach Petro's obviously up there. So, you know, he's done great things as a Blue Jay, as a player and a coach. So I think from a winning standpoint and championship standpoint, I think you got to go with the big guy 4-3, Coach Petro.
I definitely thought that was a trap question for you to be like, there are no great Terps, but you came up big. You came up big.
Yeah, I did.
So what's the best piece of coaching advice you've ever received? I was at Committed Academy this past weekend. You were talking to a bunch of D1 commits and kind of giving them advice. What's the thing that you passed on to them that was the most important thing that someone said to you?
So that's another really good question. The most important thing I kind of learned was just being yourself, you know, and doing the things that make you successful. Well, not everyone is going to be a Dodger or some crazy outside shooter. So kind of doing the things that are going to make you successful and focus on them, you know. Like myself, I wasn't gifted with super speed or great size. So, you know, I had to go and find things that were going to make me unique and in my game special. So for those guys, I would kind of say, obviously you want to pick up on things that other guys do well, but you don't want to kind of transform your game to fit a mold or someone else. Kind of be true to who you are and what makes you a good lacrosse player, and why, like, all those kids, they're all there for a reason. So I don't think any of them would have been there if they weren't good lacrosse players.
We were talking earlier kind of about the tricky nature of the way that the MLL season is structured, and you've had to adjust this season, you know, with the addition of players, like you mentioned, with Rambo coming on and John Crawley and, you know, a couple other guys of that nature. What are some of the challenges that go hand in hand with playing with new teammates so often each week in the MLL?
Yeah, so I was doing a clinic or something with a guy who played a couple years ago for 2 or 3 years in MLL. We were just talking. He said how crazy it was because in one summer he was on like 2 or 3 different teams. So each week, you know, he was in a kind of like almost like a different locker room. So that's one thing, you know, that's different than college where, you know, you go in and for 4 years you kind of have the same – well, at least in your class, but you have the same teammates for a full year where that's not the case in the MLL. So that's definitely a unique factor that the league is different in, and it takes a little bit to get adjusting to, is having guys kind of rolling in and out from the beginning of the season, mid-season, and then the late season. So it definitely takes some time to getting used to, knowing that the first game of April – isn't going to be the same team as your last game like this weekend going into a winner die kind of type situation here. So I don't know, that kind of is definitely a tricky part to navigate.
All right. We're going to get into the fun stuff. Who is the greatest movie superhero and why?
Greatest movie superhero. It's a good one. I'm going to go with, I like Captain America. You know, he's Captain America. It's hard not to like him. I've watched most of those Marvel movies. I watched the new Spider-Man movie and I thought it was pretty funny. So I would say a close second would be Spider-Man, just because of the movie. I liked it a lot.
All right. What stick are you currently using, and do you string your own or do you have a guy?
So right now I'm using the East Coast Dyes Mirage. In college, I did string most of my own sticks, but now I let Greg do them, because he's kind of that's his thing. He's kind of the guru, stick guru. So, you know, I might as well let him string. He probably knows how to do it better than I do. So right now my guy is Greg, who strings them up from East Coast Dyes.
What is the last song that you listen to?
Last song that I listened to, I'm trying to think. That's a good question. Whatever was on the radio today when I got out of the car on my way home. I don't know what the song was, but good chance it was one of those 10 to 15 songs that just roll through the popular music stations.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it was Despacito. But
there's a good chance it was Despacito.
Okay,
I probably heard it. At least that was on twice on the way home.
All right, last one. What is your go-to order at Chipotle or your other favorite burrito spot, if you have one?
Ooh, so I actually just had Chipotle today. I usually go bowl, just because I feel like you get a little bit more food. I go brown rice. Either, if I'm feeling it, I'll go double steak. If not, I'll go double chicken. Always go double meat. No beans, not a big beans guy. Then I do a little corn, cheese, lettuce, and guac, and I usually get a salad dressing to put on top. I love their salad dressing.
Awesome. Guac Army, we love it. Ryan Brown.
Yeah, guac's good stuff.
It's real good. It's real good. Ryan Brown, thanks for coming on the MLL podcast. Good luck this weekend in a win or die situation for you and the Hounds.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Ryan Brown, ladies and gentlemen, what do we think of that?
Definitely eye-opening.
Yeah, he's a lot more, I think, charismatic than I thought. I actually was around him at Committed Academy this past weekend for Inside the Cross and didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he was there to give, you know, kind of speeches to D1 commits about what they should expect. And one of the things he said was, do not expect to get praised ever. Just don't, it's not coming. Like, don't, if you're one of those people that needs it, you better figure out how to be a different kind of player. And I thought that was like, I was like, whoa, all right, that's some good advice for not just D1 lacrosse, but life. So everybody take that from Ryan Brown for all of you. Very special segment coming up. Chris explains music, wherein he doesn't really explain it, but you'll see in the question, Chris, what is your favorite music artist that no one you know listens to, and why?
That is a good question. Okay, so I would have to say, like, at first I was thinking, like, who is out now that, like, I listen to and nobody else listens to? But there's nobody in that field. Like, I listen to stuff that everybody else listens to, I think. Like, years ago, I used to kind of go on, like, Datpiff and search through, like, mixtapes from guys, like, you know, work in a Foot Locker, you know, in D.C. or something like that. But I don't do that anymore. So I don't have any insight on anybody new that nobody listens to. But somebody who I think, like, I've never been in a conversation and somebody else brought up is The Zombies. So I'm going to have to say The Zombies would be the music artist that I listen to that no one else I know listens to except for a song or two. Are you familiar by name with The Zombies?
It sounds familiar, but that's all it is. It's just a bunch of syllables that sound like something I've heard before.
So, like, they have, I'd say, two songs that you've probably heard, at least from, like, a TV show or something like that. They had a song called She's Not There and a song called, I think, The Sounds of the Season. They're from England in the 60s, like this 65, 66 group like that, and like recorded in Abbey Road right around the time that the Beatles were in there doing their stuff, like recorded on the same equipment and stuff, and kind of followed a sort of similar style trajectory. I'm not going to say, like, you know, success or anything like that. And so obviously they're not like the Beatles, or they'd be, you know, the Beatles. But so, like, they started out and they're doing these kind of Otis Redding, Sam Cooke kind of covers, you know, like covering a lot of American, like, soul stuff and, you know, floppy hair and all that. And then, like, one album later, they're doing, like, the super harmonized, like, Beach Boys, Beatles kind of stuff. And then they were done. They, like, I think they broke up after the second album was made. Like, I don't even think they toured or anything off of it. But now they're touring because they're, like, you know, making more money. So I would recommend that people go listen to The Zombies, and then you can tell me if you like them or if that was a stupid recommendation. But they got, like, two albums, and they're, like, 40 minutes long. So it's not that, you know, big a cut out of your day either way. So, yeah, go listen to The Zombies.
Wow. I thought you'd go a little bit more modern, but those are solid. And as stated on previous podcasts, my taste is so weird, and Chris's is so much better than mine, that my answers would be, like, The New Pornographers, which is a band from Canada, been around forever. Since like late 90s. I still listen to their first album, even though it was like 99 when it came out. And also Jedi Mind Tricks, who have not produced great stuff lately, but they have a couple of their albums are amazing. And I think you'll hear, like, they're a Philly kind of like rap, like almost not trip hop, like trap hop. Like they are intense. So not for everybody, but those would be my picks. Two completely different ends of the spectrum. But again, check out The Zombies. Chris has better taste than I do. Lax Draft picks for the final week of the regular season. Are we ready, Chris? First draft. Oh, I won last week. Just FYI, it's my second win of the season. I've gotten second like five times. It's really frustrating, but it's good to feel like a winner. Chris is also, I think you've kind of done the same thing, right?
Yeah, I was second this past week. I tied with Patrick McEwen, behind you.
Who I rubbed in his face that I beat him at Community Academy, and he did not believe me. And Jack Kelly's 24 saves put me over the top. This week, however, for our first draft pick, you can pick between Peter Baum, midfielder for Ohio, playing against Rochester, Mark Cockerton, attacker from Ohio, playing against Rochester. That's kind of the dark horse sleeper there. John Hawes, midfielder for Charlotte, playing against New York. Miles Jones, midfielder for Chesapeake, playing against Denver. Rob Pinnell, attackman for New York, playing against Charlotte. Or Kevin Rice, attackman for Atlanta, playing against Boston. Chris, who you got?
This is super difficult. I wrote two down, and I'm trying to trying to figure it out right now. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to defer to you. So who do you have while I figure out who I'm picking first?
Give me angry Kevin Rice all day, every day. It's my dude. He's angry. His team's going to miss the playoffs. He definitely – I've talked to him. He definitely thinks that his team should have been in the playoffs, that they should have finished better, that that team had a lot more talent than they showed out in their record. So I'm going to go with angry Kevin Rice.
Yeah, he was one of the guys I was thinking about picking. I mean, definitely the anger factor definitely has a benefit there. I just really like the Atlanta attack going against Boston. I'm going to go in the opposite direction then, and I am going to go with Peter Baum. Rochester's defense has been solid, but Peter Baum has been really good as well. Hit a two-pointer last week. So if he carries that over again, I think he might have another day.
Peter Baum now leads the MLL in points. So great selection there. Second draft pick, you can pick – these are your polls. Jesse Bernhardt for Chesapeake against Denver. Michael Earhart for Charlotte against New York. Scott Radcliffe. Like, we can just stop because Scott Radcliffe is probably what everyone's going to pick. For Atlanta against Boston, or Michael Simon for Denver against Chesapeake. Obviously, I'm going with Radcliffe because ride or die. Chris?
Yeah, I'm obviously going Radcliffe as well. You know, Radcliffe should probably be in the first tier at this point, to make it actually kind of tricky. But yeah, no, I'm definitely going for Radcliffe.
Well, I think what they did this week, they got us with the goalies. So, like, Radcliffe's the natural choice. There's a couple tough selections in that first group always, but we're going to the third part here, and it's goalies, but it's not the goalies we want, right? It's Drew Adams for New York against Charlotte, Nico Amato for Chesapeake against Denver, Kyle Bernlohr for Ohio against Rochester, and Tyler Fiorito for Boston against Atlanta. Who even knows if Tyler Fiorito's playing? Same thing with Nico Amato, even though he has played a lot lately. He's still split time with Fipper in the last month or so. I think the easy pick here is probably Drew Adams, just because Charlotte is like takes shots willy-nilly, and they're going to get a ton of shots against that New York team. And they're, you know, those are teams that, you know, have skin in the game. So I think that I'm going to go with Drew Adams. What do you think?
I am going to go with Kyle Bernlohr because Kyle Bernlohr is just stupid good. And some of the saves he was making last week were phenomenal. And I think, Rochester is definitely going to be going all out and putting up a lot of shots, I'd have to assume. So hopefully Bernlohr takes advantage of that.
Totally agree. I'd like to add that Chris and I make our picks before anyone else in our pool, and thus are at a complete disadvantage, but somehow we have managed to dominate most of the season. So, in a way, we are experts. It's in the title. Just want to put that out there. We're going to close out with the Twitter game of the week. Atlanta Blaze versus Boston Cannons. Oh, Chris, I feel a rant. It's a rant. Okay, seriously, MLL? This is the game we're watching? Two eliminated teams with nothing to play for? You know what? I'm not previewing this game. You go to hell, MLL. You go to hell. I'm not doing it. Chris, you can do it. I don't want to do it. This is the game on Twitter? The game that doesn't matter? Seriously? We can't flex this out? What are you doing? Why are you doing this to us? Why? Why? You can just push a button and do a different game. Why? Why? Chris, do you want to even preview this game?
No, I'm all set.
All right, cool. We're going to close it out. I just wanted to let you guys know, in today's weird news of the day to close the podcast, I'll be working the sideline for this Friday's MLL Legends game at the Lake Placid Lacrosse Tournament. So be on the lookout for that. Eventually, it's going to air on LSN. I need you guys to send me questions because I have no idea how to work a sideline. And I'm like, serious, this is not a bit. I'm going to end up Gary Gate asking like what his favorite mac and cheese recipe is or something. So you guys need to hit me up on Twitter. Good way to close it out. Or Instagram at @thekyledevitt, where you can also follow me. Chris?
Yep, I am at ChrisRosie22 on Twitter and at Chris Rosenthal on Instagram.
Thanks a lot, folks. Last part of the regular season. Really looking forward to the playoffs. We'll have some special stuff for you then. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you next week. X gon' give it to you. Wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real. With the non-stop, pop out from stainless steel. Go hard getting busy with it. But I got such a good heart that I make the mother...